Appreciate you. So, guys, this morning we're going to talk about hard teachings. And in the next about 2 weeks, we're going to do a series starting on about, we're going to talk about let God be God and the believer be the believer.
Amen.
That's sometimes challenging for us, isn't it? Yes. Along with that series, it's going to start out with let God be God and believers be believers. And then we're going to, the second part of the series is going to talk about uniformity versus unity. You learn a lot when you talk to people and you research. I want the people to go back and research stuff. I need to find out where I'm wrong and where I'm right. And also find what God reminds me that he's always right, no matter what I think. So, but I learned a lot about that. I was like, okay, Mr. Dockery, you may be wrong on a couple of things here, you know. But we'll talk about that. And then the third part of that series is going to talk about beware of whispers. And that's going to focus on a lot of times, you know, when you realize the freedom that you have in Christ, you start listening to voices that you shouldn't listen to and everything. So we'll start that series in about 2 weeks. Today we're going to talk about hard teachings, and we're going to be over in John 6. So you can go there and everything, and that's where we'll start at. And, you know, for years, for a lot of us who've been around for a while, we've always read things in the Bible that's kind of been like, that's challenging. Or it don't make sense, or man, it's woo, that just hits me some kind of way. And we either want to ignore it, we want to act like it doesn't exist, or we want to act like it doesn't apply to me. But whatever it is, we want to get away from it because it's uncomfortable. You know, and then I'm gonna read this one verse here, and then we're gonna come back to it. But just to open us up here, in John 6:60, it says, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can't accept it? You know, this whole thing we're going to read in this part of John 6, basically John 6, 52 all the way down to 67, I think it is, we're going to read. We're learning the things at this time for them. This is when the moment that everything changed. You know, there comes a moment in every believer's life when following Jesus stops being exciting. And it starts being costly. A moment when the scriptures stop sounding familiar and start sounding confrontational. A moment when Jesus stops comforting you and he starts challenging you. You know, John 6, that chapter 6 is one of those moments. The disciples heard Jesus said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they said, this is a hard teaching. Who can't accept it? You know, but the problem wasn't the teaching. It never is. It's never the scripture. The problem was their surrender to this idea, to what Jesus was teaching them. You know, when following Jesus gets real, it's like us. When we decide to say, you know what? I'm going to join a gym. I'm going to get a gym membership. I'm going to get in shape. I want to get fit. I'm going to go walking. I'm going to hire me a personal trainer. I'm going to do all that, you know. You know, when you first sign up for the gym or you first decide that I'm going to get fit, you're all excited. You buy new shoes. You buy new clothes. I don't know why we feel like we got to look good when we had to get all sweaty and dirty. I don't understand the math behind that. You may even buy that new water bottle. Because I don't like this plastic bottle. I'm going to buy me a designer bottle, pour my water in, have my water. You know? You may want to need some motivational music. Get your little wrist thing to put on your wrist, put your phone in, earbuds. I'm going to be motivated. You do all this to make yourself feel athletic. Yeah. But the excitement fades, the moment you realize it's time to go to work. I've actually got to do some exercise. I've actually got to get off the couch and go walking. I've actually got to do it. I've actually got to put this idea into play. The results you want requires the discipline you don't want.
Say that again.
You know, following Jesus works the same way. Let's pick up in John 6:52. Jesus has just did this message in the synagogue, and he's telling them, look, in order to have eternal life, You've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And we're going to dive into this and get a little understanding of this. And picking up verse 52, here's their response. It says, at this, the Jews began to argue among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live, just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your fathers who ate the manna and died, the one who eats this bread will live forever. Jesus said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Point one, you cannot understand spiritual truth with a worldly mindset. So to give some context to understand what these guys were going through, because for us, we read this quite a bit, did some study on this, so we feel like, oh, we get it, Jesus. We know what's going on. We're with you. What's their problem? How come they don't get you? But the context, I'm not going to read the scripture, but if you get a chance, read Leviticus 17, verse 10 through 13. In their culture, guess what was forbidden? You could not eat or drink blood. So you can imagine Jesus saying, hey, the way to eternal life is, you got to drink my blood. Hold up, Jesus, hold up, hold up. This does not align with our culture. But you know, Jesus was speaking from a spiritual point of view. Jesus' teaching was spiritual, but their mind was set on earthly things from a natural point of view. They were steeped deep in their culture and everything, and they heard it from like, wait a minute. But our culture, our laws, our rules, our regulations says we can't do that. But Jesus was speaking spiritually to them. We have to realize earthly thinking cannot grasp heavenly truths. So what's the fix to that for us? How do we grab these teachings in the Bible that are hard and challenging at times? How do we grab these spiritual things? Another scripture passage I'm not going to read, but we're familiar with it. Colossians 3, 1 and 2 gives the key. It says, set your mind on what? Things? There you go. Where Christ is seated at the right hand. These are the keys to taking hold of the difficult teachings, the hard teachings in the Bible. You know, you cannot see God while clinging to the world. You have to detach and let go of the world. We have to realize that spiritual truth requires a spiritual posture. Well, we're familiar with the FM, AM and FM radio. You know, if you're tuned to the wrong frequency, you would never hear the broadcast. That's right. The station is playing, but your radio is set to the wrong channel. God is always speaking, but if your mind is tuned into the world, you will never hear him clearly. You know, if your mind is in the world, the word will always feel strange. We have to detach from the world. So Jesus tells them this. They're arguing, going back and forth, trying to figure this out. And of course, you have to remember, they are at ground zero. They're in this for the first time. The advantage we have post this, what they're going through is, we've had a chance to get our commentary, we get our references, scrolls, thesaurus, lexicons. We had a chance to do all that to understand. So we're like, we get it. But imagine being like these guys. You're at ground zero, and you're hearing this for the first time. That's shock. That is shock. And so they're dealing with this. And so Jesus, hearing this argument, he picks up in verse 60. He says, on hearing it, many of the disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? aware that his disciples were grumbling about his teaching, Jesus asked them, "Does this offend you? Then what would happen if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before?" He's forecasting about what's going to happen, what? When he ascends. If you get that. For those of us who know, he's talking about after the cross, after he's risen, he's with those 11 disciples. Guess what happens? He rises. He's like, imagine if you can't accept this spiritual teaching that I'm teaching. Imagine you see me right here standing here and I just rise up. Your mind is going to be blown away. But I love it. Jesus prepares us for hard teachings, for spiritual things. Verse 63 says, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. However, there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. Then Jesus said, 'This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has granted it to him.' From that time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him." Point two, hard teachings reveal the condition of the heart. You know, if you want to know where a person is at, introduce some difficulty. You know, hard teaching exposes our attachments. It lets us know exactly where we are with God and our walk with him. The disciples weren't confused. They were confronted. And that's what scripture does to us. When we read a scripture or a passage in the Bible and we're like, what is going on? Why would this happen? Why would God permit this? Why would God do this? Why would God allow this? It's not that we're confused. We're being confronted with scripture and what God is trying to teach and show us. The issue is not Jesus' teaching, but it is our resistance.
Yes.
Because when we see scripture that don't sit with us, we resist. We resist. It can't, no, God would never do this. No, not, how can a good God do this? Mm-mm, we resist. You see, we want comfort, not confrontation. Hard teachings are an invitation to grow. God uses difficult teachings to deepen us. He used hard teachings to grow us. You know, a doctor's diagnosis. A doctor tells you the truth because they want you to live. They want you to get better. They want you to heal. They want you to do the right thing. We know it. You know, a part of fitness, one of the things when you get older, you realize, see a doctor, and the doctor say, what? We've got to curb some habits you've been doing for a long time. We got to change some habits. Now, some of us, we get the bright idea. I ain't going to do medicine. I'm going to go all herbal. I'm going all natural. And guess what? That don't work out. You don't stick to it. You're back at the doctor. We're trying to face reality. We're trying to deal with like, wow, I've actually got to make some changes. You know, a doctor tells you the truth because they want you to live. If the diagnosis is hard, it doesn't mean the doctor is cruel. It means the condition is serious. Jesus' hard teachings are spiritual diagnosis about where we are. He's not trying to hurt us. He's trying to heal us. You cannot grow in Christ while avoiding the parts of Christ that challenge you. Learn to go deeper in these parts. I'm going to look at Psalms chapter 1 and read Psalms chapter verse 1. And we're familiar with this scripture here in Psalms 1. You know, we have to allow the teachings of Jesus, of the whole word, the whole Bible, really just reshape our heart, reshape who we are. And to do that, pick it up in Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. He says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked." That's a mouthful in itself in the world that we live in.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to constantly be vigilant.
Yeah.
You have to. He said, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or set foot on the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. That's key. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, yielding his fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and who prospers in all he does. Amen. That's a powerful encouragement.
Yes, it is.
You know, there's a scripture in Proverbs 18:17 that says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. Let's talk about point three. Going deeper with God requires investment in God. That's the only way you're going to be able to process those hard teachings in the Bible that challenges your opinions, your beliefs. You know, because we can get lost in our own thinking, our own thought, and we don't realize that we're creating this our own Bible. And it's an old saying we've heard many years, and then our Bible is full of first and second opinions that really carry no weight or no value. But going deeper with God requires investment in God. That means understanding requires investment. You cannot know God casually. You know, God reveals himself to seekers. Those who seek me, he says, they will find me. We need to stop seeking the path of the least resistant. We just want it so easy. Don't want no problems. We all feel that way. Especially when you're dealing with something challenging. You're just like, I just want peace. I just want peace. I don't want no more. But when building this relationship with God, learning to follow Jesus, we have to stop seeking the path of least resistance. Growth in Christ, growth with God, requires that we go deeper. You know, you think about a pool. And you think about, there's some adults, but a lot of kids, we introduce them to the shallow end of the pool. You know, children's, they play in the shallow end because it's safe. You feel comfortable, you know. Adults tend to swim in the deep end because that's where the real movement happens. Some believers have been saved for over 20 plus years, and they're still splashing in the shallow end spiritually.
Yeah, I'm right.
God is calling us to the deep end. He wants us to come out there. You would never know God if you stay in the shallows. Picking up in verse 67, coming to a close here. He says, so Jesus asked the 12, do you want to leave too? Now he's speaking to his core leadership group. The rest of the disciples then left. The non-believers have left. All the mockers, the critics have left. Now I'm speaking with the 12, those who have been walking with me closely. And he says, do you want to leave me too? Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Point four, surrender is the doorway to understanding. Amen. You know, a hard teaching forces a decision. What's that old motto they say these days? Either fight or flight. Mm-hmm. You know, a hard teaching is going to force you either to go deeper or stay in the shallows.
Right.
Jesus asked, do you want to leave too? But Peter, his response is the model we want to follow, we want to embrace. Lord, to whom shall we go? Think about it. Where are you going to go? Who else is offering eternal life? Who else is offering a way out of this wicked world from all the things that are happening here? Who else is offering that? Peter's response is the model. We have to realize surrender opens the door to revelation. Understanding follows obedience. You know, in wartime, we always know about the white flag. You wave the white flag to surrender, you know. well, I guess in war, waving the white flag means surrender. But you know, in the kingdom, waving the white flag means victory. Amen. You stop fighting God and you start following him. You stop resisting truth and you start receiving it. Understanding follows obedience. It's not the other way around. You know, we have to make a decision that we're not just going to casually follow God, but we're going to get deep into the scriptures. How many of you know about pearl divers? Divers who dive for pearl. Pearl divers, you know the pearls? The divers who dive for pearls? That's an extraordinary thing. Got to hold your breath a long time, don't you? Wow. You know, pearl divers, you know, they risk their breath to reach the ocean floor because the treasure is not floating on the surface. The deeper they go, the greater the reward. God's truth is the same way. The treasures of scriptures are not found in casual reading. They are found in committed seeking. You're going to have to go deeper. Here's a charge for us as I close out. Take advantage of God's mercy while you can, because it's happening at this very moment while we are alive. What do we do with that mercy? We need to go deeper. Right. We need to seek him, and we need to study him. We need to surrender to him. Hard teachings are not meant to push us away. No. The things that are spiritual that Jesus is teaching that seem difficult and they seem hard, they are designed and they are meant to pull us in. Hard teachings. Let's dive in. I'm going to pray for the bread and the juice.